Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. I was reading a study of tilapia, an increasingly common food fish. The researchers were trying to determine the optimum temperament for farm-raised fish, or specifically, those animals who were able to get to the food in a test environment as quickly as possible. As they ran their experiment, they discovered that there were basically two different types of fish. One group moved right into a tea maze, where the fish had to swim down a narrow corridor, which ended in a tea, and then make a turn to the right or the left to find the food. The group of fish that learned to do this the fastest were referred to as bold or proactive by the researchers. Those who took longer to do this were referred to as timid or reactive. Initially, I had trouble with that terminology because I was looking at it as an ethologist rather than a researcher. As an ethologist, I wouldn't equate bold with proactive because I'm trained to look at behaviors in context, particularly in context the animal's natural environment, be that swimming in a freshwater stream or an ocean or living in somebody's house. In the natural environment, proactive has a different connotation to me. It represents a more thoughtful animal response, an animal that takes into account all the probabilities and then makes a decision based on that. Whereas a reactive animal is one that just marches right in, boldly goes where no fish has gone before. So what does this tell us about scientific terminology? Well, like everything else, it's relative. And just because the terms are used that way in this study, doesn't necessarily mean that the terms will be used that same way in a study of other species of fish, or dogs, or cats, or horses, or pigs, or cows, or ducks. So what are we to do about this? Well, I didn't have any trouble with this particular study because they defined their terms up front. And as soon as I could get my head around the fact that they were defining the terms exactly the opposite of the way I would define them, I was okay. But the other advantage I had is that as an ethologist, I do believe that animals are capable of cognition, and I do believe that they experience emotions. On the other hand, I can think of people who would totally dismiss a study that used the terms bold, proactive, reactive, or timid and applied them to animals. They would say that's anthropomorphism. That's the researcher saying that if he were a fish, he would immediately swim down that tea maze and go right to the food because that's the kind of bold guy he is. He's a can-do guy. He's proactive. And that other fish that is more cautious, well, that fish is timid, like a little mouse, reacting to everything different in the environment. I'm not saying it might not be in certain circumstances, but I'm also saying that there are times when the terminology does happen to mesh, and whether the terminology is legitimate depends, as always, on the context in which it is used. Nonetheless, it's a good reminder that terminology in scientific studies is unfortunately limited by their creators. And until such a day as the human species becomes totally objective and unemotional, capable of pure thought, I don't think that's going to happen. So in the meantime, you and I need to do what we always need to do. We need to be discriminating readers. We need to be critical thinkers. No matter how much we want to, we can't skip to the conclusions or limit ourselves to an abstract. We need to know how the researchers are defining their terms so that we don't do a disservice to them or the animals they study or any conclusions of those studies.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.